Well, I'm so excited to get a chance to chat with you. I love loot, and I think Howard is maybe one of the sweetest people. However, my first question for you is, how dare you? I thought it was bros over hoes. What happened between Howard and Nicholas that Tiffany is making a wedge between them?
I think is I've known her longer. I've been with her for 8 years. And I think it's also one of those cases where when you have that friend that kind of calls you out on things that maybe you are seeing about someone, maybe you have those conversations where they don't particularly like the person you're dating or something, and even if you agree with them initially, you usually push them away and you're like, what are you talking about? They're great. I love them. And I think that's kind of what is going on in Howard's head, is that he might agree that deep down with Nicholas, but for him to face that, it would be very difficult and very scary, because then he would be alone, because he doesn't think anybody else would necessarily want him.
Now, my second question then is, what's with the brown bread? Is that like a hot commodity more than the other type of bread?
Yes, it's made with molasses. It's a little bit sweeter. It's delicious. And they usually try to limit it to two of the pieces. So you gotta call ahead.
That's going to be a new thing that I think Cheesecake Factory is going to be overwhelmed with their requests now. So I think you've maybe ruined it for other patrons.
I'm okay with that.
I do love the friendship between Nicholas and Howard. You and Joel Kim Booster seem to banter so well together. Was it always written for Nicholas and Howard to be besties or up and coming potential besties, or did it just happen because you guys seem to have such a good, on-screen chemistry?
I think that they certainly wrote it for Nicholas and Howard to go on this journey together of friendship, and I think that they knew. I think it was just great casting with Alan and Matt, who knew both of us pretty well, and they know Joel and his sensibilities, and that minor kind of opposite but similar. We're very different people, but we have a lot of respect for each other, and I've known Joel for years. Just through the stand-up community. And so, but this was actually the first time I ever worked with him in any type of extended fashion. So I think we both were a little bit apprehensive, and just because you just don't know, especially if you're coming from a stand-up world, you're aware that like some stand-ups don't take acting as serious as other people. And I think for both Joel and I, that's what we started to bond over, is that we both really enjoy the craft of acting, and we both came in prepared every day. And I think the relationship between Howard and Nicholas kind of grew the same way between me and Joel, where I'm a little bit more open and happy and ready to go, and Joel's a little bit more guarded. And then just through us respecting each other's acting ability and respecting each other both being very funny, we both just started to actually grow this friendship that I think you see mirror on screen. And we talk about all the time, it's just that we'd love to work together for years and do some movies together and do fun stuff, because I think we have a rare fun chemistry.
And when you add Nat Faxon into the mix, I mean, I think those scenes are probably not just the wonderful scenes where Molly grows as a person, but I think those guy scenes as well add a lot of heart to the series as well. Are there moments where the three of you are improvising at all? Maybe during the grilled cheese scene, or are those just wonderfully scripted moments?
It's a little bit of both. It's very well scripted, and they do allow us to improvise and play around with what we do. And I'd say less so. I think the grilled cheese thing, oh, except for me just yelling out about more grilled cheese, that was just like a random thing. But most of it is just r how they wrote it. And I think some of the stuff between me and Tanya was highly improvised, with us like, fighting and then like kind of making out and necking together. A lot of that was improvised. And Joel just improvises all the time on set. I mean, it's very much encouraged. So it's, I think that's what makes the, you can see a lot of the fun that we're having on this show, that it's my favorite way of working, is where you have this really strong base from these really great writers, and then they're still not precious about it to the point that they allow you to shape it more to how you would naturally say something, or just if you think something is funny within that world, they are more than happy to go with it. And I think, and I'm sorry for to just go on and on about it, but I just love the work and the job. And what I love about working with Nat and Joel in particular, because a lot of my scenes are with them, is that we're all very different comedically. All our rhythms are different. So the jokes couldn't be like replaceable. It's not like a sitcom where you're like, okay, well, you have too many jokes this episode, so let's give that joke to Matt. Like, whatever our characters are saying are like coming from this really clear perspective. And I think that's one of the best parts of the show, is that it allows all these different forms of humor to kind of harmonize together and create this, like, music.
Well, those scenes with Amber, where she's Tanya and you guys have this sort of codependent relationship, what kind of backstory did they give you as far as their relationship? Because Howard and Tanya, we know, have been together for 8 years. They have date nights that get into a rut, but at the same time, she flat out says she doesn't see a future with him, much to Howard completely not wanting to hear that. What is it the back What kind of backstory did they give you as far as their relationship?
Well, when we talked a lot about the character of Howard and the relationship that he's going through, it was a lot about me going back to a place I was a few years ago, where I was kind of not a lot of self-esteem when it came to dating. So I was coming out of a divorce, and it was before the marriage and my son that I have now, where I feel a lot more confident, and that they just kind of were like, hey, you're gonna go back to this place where you were a few years ago, where a lot of times we all are, where we're just like, it's better to be with somebody than nobody. And that's not the real case to me. I think that's often very detrimental to people's health and the ability to for you to actually go find the mate that you're looking for. But I think we all know that position sometimes of being scared, especially like in the pandemic and stuff. We're like, well, I'd rather have something than nothing. And I think that's the relationship that Tanya and Howard have, where Howard is being taken advantage of and being walked over, and he's a bit of a people pleaser, and he's allowing it in ways where, because he's not oblivious, so he is in some cases allowing it. I think they just have this relationship that runs hot and cold, but it's certainly toxic and not a good relationship.
Well, circling back to Howard's relationship with his cousin Molly, talk about working with Maya, because I think this is such a beautiful platform for her as well to show off the insanely talented comedic skills she has.
It's her birthday today too, which is great. She's amazing. It's like, I always tell people, like, I'm a big comedy fan, and I grew up loving comedy and loving sitcoms. And in general, I've always loved female driven sitcoms. Like, my favorite shows, or I Love Lucy, Roseanne, like these are the things that I Grace Under Fire, these are the things that I grew up watching. And to now be on a show that kind of follows that type of lineage of Lucille Ball and Carol Burnett, of this like strong Mary Tyler Moore, like these strong female-led comedies, and have someone who has just this comedic skill set that is amazing. And I think more than that, the thing that really I've been noticing from watching these episodes is that I just love her ability to ground this character and make her likable and relatable, which is wildly difficult for someone who is playing, someone with $87 billion who's disconnected from the real world. That's the character. And to make that relatable and likable, especially in this climate where people are, looking for reasons to, like, I mean, I remember when hearing a lot of previews about it, and people were like, oh, I don't want to hear watch this wealth porn. I don't want to watch you guys celebrating billionaires. And I think the show does the exact opposite of that. It's a very much of a critique of what it is to live a life with complete affluence and complete wealth without passion, without family, without charity, without anything grounding you, how afloat and how far out you can get. And to be able to play that type of character is amazing. And I would talk with like Stephanie and Joel, and we'd all, not so much Nat because he's known her for years, so he's used to it, but we'd all take turns being like, oh my God, we get to sit here and watch her work, and I learned so much from just keeping my mouth shut and listening and watching her from, not just comedy and acting, but business and what it takes to actually run a business and take care of other people in this industry.
I'm curious to tell you if they told you whether or not they really were cousins, or if this was just a good way that Howard was able to actually snag a job.
That would be really fun. That would be really fun. And I think she would be oblivious to that point that I might not be her cousin, but no, I'm her actual cousin. And this week's this upcoming episode, we go and visit some more members of the family. So it should be shine a little more light on that.
Well, I think, as I mentioned before, and I'm probably gushing a little too much, but this is such a great outlet for you and the other comedic talents in this series. I really think Lute is a wonderful, hilarious, sweet, well-suited series for you because there's heart and humor, and you guys have such great comedic timing. But I'm certain there are moments, though. Even as a well-trained comedian, you are cracking up based on everything that's happening around you. Are there moments, though, where other people, like who breaks the most when it came to filming?
That's really hard to say. We all kind of, I mean, it really is like a summer camp vibe where we're all like just having fun and cracking jokes in between takes and during the takes and trying to break each other with different ad libs. And I mean, I'm naturally a laugher, so I probably laugh the most on set of anybody. And then, I would always consider it a personal challenge to just try to break Nat every day, both comedically and break his spirit. Those were always fun for me. It's just a
He
fun, I mean, it's,
appreciated it too. I'm sure his
oh,
self-esteem was really grateful. He's like, I have an Academy Award, but whatever. Ron is just beating me down senselessly,
I
emotionally.
made him well aware that I was not aware of any of that, and I would not look it up. And
I don't care what accolades you have. You
oh,
are Arthur
so
to me through and through. You have no
yes,
emotional standing here whatsoever.
not at all.
Ever the professional, Ron Funches.
No, sometimes I would just call him Maya's friend. I'm like, well, I'm so glad, that your friend got you a
Exactly. It's good to see you finally working in the business,
Yeah.
even in a side part.
I mean, I don't know if people are gonna believe him as a, as a romantic interest. I can't, that's a stretch. But other than that, he's doing a good
You told
job.
him, you don't have Brad Pitt's looks or Olivia
No.
Martinez's charm, but
No.
I'm glad your friend could get you a SAG card level job.
Exactly. You get it.
Since you are a part of social media, what kind of fan response have you been receiving so far to the series?
Oh, I mean, that's been really the most surprising to me is because I try to avoid it usually. I try to just disconnect when something comes out because usually I'm very used to it being very negative and people feel like this sucks no matter what I do, or at the most going meh. And then so it was really we keep a group chat that we do, and Joel came into the group text the other day and was just like, he's like, guys, I know that you probably don't normally do this. Normally I don't. He's like, but I looked up Lute on Twitter and everybody's saying nice things. And so I went through and I was like, I don't believe you. I'll find something negative. And then I went through, and the very first thing I saw was someone saying that how the things that you were saying, that how this was such a great vehicle for me, and that it was showcasing my increased acting skill and my heart, and that then the best thing they said, they were like, this show is worth watching for Ron alone. And I was like, oh my God, like people. And I started reading through, and it's just people being so nice about Maya and how she finally gets a chance to showcase all her skills, and people loving Michaela and Joel, and the relationship between me and Joel. Like, I'm used to, and the fact that they renewed the show after like three episodes. I'm used to like having to wait 6, 7 months to just find out if your show's gonna get canceled or not. So it's been a whole new experience for me that I've been really loving and enjoying, and it makes me, and also, the fact that we shot a, most of this like in very, very scary pandemic times. I hadn't been working that much before I got this job. I don't feel like my, I got into my full acting chops until halfway through the season. And so I'm very excited to now, knowing that I get to go back to work, that I can be prepared mentally, be prepared physically, and see how well we could do in a second season.
Well, you've come a long way from being half naked dancing and singing on New Girl, and now you're a full-fledged actor. You have a game show that you host. You do so many different things. How do you manage to do all of them at this point in your career? How do you balance it all?
By only doing things that I really want to do, basically. If if you're passionate about it and you're really excited about it, it's a lot easier to spend that many hours doing something and bouncing around things. I love hosting a game show. I love acting on this show with Maya, and I love stand up. So all of them balance each other. If one is frustrating for me, the other one is kind of there for a relief for me, and I just try to also not work myself to death. I still try to take time to spend time with my family and my new baby and just relax. So it's all about balance, and I have a really good team. I have a good wife and a good family and a good mom that really keep me balanced and keep me focused and help make sure that I'm able to just focus on the work that I have to do. And then, but it mostly just comes that I'm not going to say any names, but I remember being on set with someone and they were just on their phone like all the time. They weren't present, you could just tell that they had too many things to do and they were going on to do the next thing. And I just was like, oh, I never want to forget how fun this job is and forget that I'm lucky to be doing this. And if I'm not feeling that way, then it's not the right project for me. And that's just how I work. Like I can't fake it. Like the reason why people see like, a joy in me, or they see the niceness in the heart in me, is because that's how I feel. If I didn't feel that way, it would show. And so I just try to put myself in a position that I always love what I do, and that makes it so I can do more work.
Well, I know you're also a big wrestling fan as well, and they have some new A&E series coming out where it's like behind the scenes and storytelling of different wrestlers coming up and maybe some of the issues they faced in their life. How are you enjoying the new focus that's returning to wrestling? I mean, I didn't even know that Freddie Prinze Jr. was a writer for wrestling
Yeah.
shows.
Oh yeah. He wrote for the WWE for years. Yeah, I love him. I go to shows with him on occasion. Pardon
Bless
me.
you.
Thank you so much. I love it. I'm really excited about how, I mean, things are changing as McMahon's retired and just so much new blood. And I really just like how more progressive a lot of the independent wrestling is, with a lot more people of color and a lot more LGBTQ people being involved in wrestling and show and not being like the butt of jokes, but like bringing new eyes and bringing new people into wrestling. I love it. I'm actually getting ready to start a wrestling podcast with Spotify Live myself next Sunday. or this Sunday. This Sunday. Yeah, I'm gonna do a live podcast every Sunday. People can call in and talk to me about wrestling and we'll debate stuff. And it's another fun passion project I get to do.
Well, my dad worked for WCW for many years. He did all the merchandise and things like that for all of the wrestlers, you know, the tearaway t-shirts and things like that. So I think this is a very cool resurgence that we're having right now, especially also with like scripted series like Young Rock, which is basically, you know, his life story. But I think it's great that we're going back to telling the tales of the fandom so that people can know what it's like, you know, when the wrestlers, when we were growing up and what started everything.
No, I love it too. And then just to see that, oh, absolutely, to see that type of stuff on mainstream television, it's such a win when it, you know, something that people have made fun of or mocked for so long. And I feel like a lot of the people who grew up on wrestling are now more in positions of power and they're more into it now. So it's just really fun to just see all the things that I grew up loving, like video games or wrestling or comedy and things that, you know, people mocked me for when I was a kid. Now that I get to make a living off of those things, and it makes me extremely happy.
Take that, high school reunion. There's so much, as I touched on, going on for you. And you mentioned now you have a podcast coming out this weekend as well. What else have you been busy working on?
I've been doing a couple cartoons I'm excited about. I'm in a cartoon for Nickelodeon called Rock, Paper, Scissors with me and Carlos Araki, who played Rocco in Rocko's Modern Life, and Tom Lennon. And we're just like three roommates, rock, paper, and scissors. And it's super silly and fun. So I'm excited for people to see that. And then other than that, I'm in that new 80 for Brady movie with Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin. And I'm like, I don't want to give anything away, but I'm a villain. So that's fun.
Oh my goodness, I was just gonna say, are we gonna be able to see you as a romantic lead maybe in the future, as a bad guy at some point? But clearly, A, you've got that in Loot, now that I remember, you're definitely a romantic lead. And also, you know, now you have this new film coming out, so that's amazing. I'm so excited that you're branching out into different types of genre. I mean, obviously comedy is such a beautiful genre for you because you do it so well. But I'm glad to hear that other things are coming for you, and I'm always glad to hear good things are coming for you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. And I love how passionately you said I do comedy well. I really believed you when you said it. It makes me feel good.
Maybe I'll, you know, just bring me in. I'll give Nat some acting lessons. We'll talk, whatever.
He
Just be like,
needs them.
look, I met this journalist. She's better than you, whatever.
Yeah, he knows it. One of my favorite things is when we do press and people call him Nate, and I do not correct them.
You're like, Ron, you know you heard that. And you're like, yes, I did hear that. And no, I did not
Yeah.
correct them on purpose.
Absolutely. Shut up, Nate Faxon.
Well, what would you like to say then to everyone else who are fans and supporters of the wonderful work that you do, whether it's comedy, whether it's game show hosting, whether it's now this new podcast? You do, I'm serious, you are a multi-talent. So what would you like to say to people who, like me, truly support the wonderful work you do?
That is very much appreciated, more than people would even think that, because sometimes I'm not aware of that, especially when I'm going through the different things. Like, you know, to get from a show like Undateable, which is more like a multi-cam sitcom, to a show
I
like
miss
Loot,
that one.
I know, but took a lot of like work and acting classes and a lot of coaching and a lot of things. So for people to be following along with me as I like got better and did my guest roles and you know, out on the road doing stand-up comedy, and you know, and just not necessarily having something where people could be like, oh, I know I'm from this or from that, but more like people following me from little thing to thing, where the, you know, Harley Quinn or just my voiceover work. And I love how many people tell me that they like my comedy, and they get their kids to watch my cartoon work, and like, and then their parents see me on like Family Feud or stuff like that. And I like, those are the type of things that I love, and I really appreciate anyone that makes the effort. to, you know, when there's so many things that you could be watching and so many things put in front of your face, the people who mess with me and enjoy me because they enjoy my spirit, or they enjoy me as a person, or enjoy my comedy skills, and they follow me from one thing to another, I truly appreciate it, because I know it is not the easiest thing to do. So thank you. That's all I would say, really, is thank you so much. I would be dead without you.